I am. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you what, we're down to the final days right before Christmas. Amen. And I want to remind you that don't let your Christmas get over commercialized. Just don't do it, because I want you to know that you need to remember the simplicity of family and then the magnificence of Jesus Christ being born. Amen. I tell you what, that we need to really give reverence to the Lord and Savior. I tell you what, we would be lost without the Lord. And I thank God that every time God has ever had to make a decision concerning humanity, he steps towards us with more love. I mean, it doesn't matter if people have rejected him, forgot about him, turned their back on him. I thank God that every time God had to make a choice towards humanity, he's a true loving father. He never steps away. He always steps towards us. So tonight, we're going to worship him and just thank God and be ecstatic about what God is doing in our lives. Amen.
Adore him, Christ. Come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Joy when my heart is heavy and all my days. Every hopeless situation, it ceases to exist when you walk into the room. Sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation, it ceases to exist when you walk into the room. Sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation, it ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you, and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, God. All we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God. All we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you, Lord. We want you. Come and consume, God. All we are. Give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come, Lord. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We love you. We'll never stop. We'll never stop, can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I think I'm getting myself lost in worship, baby.
Amen. Well, we said chew again.
I did not.
I did, but I
Amen.
Corrected it.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
You, not you.
Amen. It's good to see every one of you guys.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As we close in on closing out this year. Amen.
Amen.
And we're glad to be worshiping with you. We got tonight's service.
Yes.
Then we got Sunday.
Yes.
Then we get to do Christmas Eve.
Oh,
and then Christmas will be here. Amen.
Yes.
I tell you what, I know some of you have been running hard, working hard. You know, it's some of the busiest times of the year right now. And with that also being said, you know, people don't realize it, but it's true. We have a better economy than we've had in a long time. And whether you realize it or not, it means people are busier than they've been at this time of the year, even though it's been busy. You know, stores are normally busy during Christmas, but
yeah,
this year you are busier than you have been.
I feel like we're just busier as a nation now than ever. And
in life in general.
We keep ourselves busy doing things all the time. And it didn't seem like it was like that when I was... Now, I didn't work when I was a kid. I did when I was a teenager. And I still don't feel like I was as busy doing sports, going to an eight-hour job and coming home. And I just didn't feel like I was as busy as I am today. Like, we're
constantly...
It feels like we got to get things done.
Well, the Bible speaks of the age of information and the speeding up of time. Now, we have 24 hours.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there's a quickening in such a way that you ain't getting done what you used to.
Amen.
I mean, there's pressure on us all the time. There's a time crunch all the time. And time is expedient.
You go to other countries and they don't feel the crunch that we feel.
No.
They don't. You go to Africa and they're not in a hurry. They're not like, let's get it now. We're just used to this. Africa's not like that. We go on vacation over in Aruba. They're not like that. They're just laid back. And you know what? They seem happier sometimes than
we're
all busy and running and getting things done. And sometimes, and I love the holidays because I'm hoping a lot of us get off and get a break and get to spend time with family. And you just get to do that. You get to relax and nothing's busy. And just enjoy Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. With your family.
That's not what you told me when I had my day today. Where my biggest...
Wait, I got to think about what I told you. I don't remember.
Early this morning when I told you how relaxed my day was.
I'm like, I was like yelling, it must be nice. I got to get up and go here and go there and
some,
go to work.
It's nice for some people have a job they got to go to.
At 9 to 5, you have a job.
Yes, I do.
You get to set some certain schedules some days better than other days, but today was one of those days. So, I was yelling because I had to go in.
He had to get up and go to work. And one of my hardest things, one of my biggest appointments, was at lunchtime. I went to meet three guys I used to work with and have lunch with
them. Amen. But it's good that you...
But we did speak faith and talk.
I know you did. I know you did. So that's what we need to do this holiday season.
Yes.
It's not about presents. I read this all the time on Facebook, and I just love it. It's not about presence, what you get. It's about his presence.
Amen.
And I think it behooves us to make sure that we're taking time, and when we get up in the morning and we're getting ready to do stuff, that we stop and take a moment to really realize what this means. It's huge. If you're going to be born and you're going to go to a cross and you're going to be crucified and you know the pain you're going to go through and you willingly do it because your father said it, would you come to earth and would you be born?
You
know what I mean? And he did it for us. And this is a time where we just get to be grateful for him coming, for him being born, for our father sending him, and everything that we get to walk in because of Jesus coming.
Amen.
And it's amazing. And it's just, we need to reflect on that. We need to make sure that our children know above anything and everything of this season that Jesus is the reason that we are celebrating.
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
You already talked about Christmas Eve. Remember, there's no Thursday night service next week. There's Tuesday night at 6 o'clock here at the church, and it's one of my favorite. And then we'll come back again on Sunday morning, regular times, but no Thursday night service.
Amen. Now, you can't see it out there on the live view out there, but I will tell you that some of you can see that we have been extraordinarily blessed with cereal. Amen? And I want you to know something, that there was a gas station that was just thinking about how they could bless people this year. And so they chose to give your crazy pastor in this church a bunch of cereal just to be a blessing to people. So we are definitely going to bless people on this Sunday. And then we've got some places that we want to go with it. And we're just going to give people cereal, and I think it's going to be a blessing to them, especially during this busy time. Amen. We still got in between taking care of gifts and presents and all that kind of stuff. So it's a great blessing, and we're very glad.
This is probably the only time you've got to force kids to eat when they're opening presents.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Kids are still going to need to eat, and when they get up with that Christmas energy, you're going to want to be able to feed them something quick and get them fed so that they can get to that present opening. Amen. So I just think it's a blessing that people would look at you and believe that here would be a great place to sow. So probably by the time it's all accumulated this weekend, it'll be close to 200 boxes of cereal. And so, God is really going to do something for us. And when we give out every box, we're going to believe God for faith and for blessing and just touching lives. Amen? Amen. Because that's what we do. That's what we believe. Amen. I do want you to know that there's just some people that, you know, we need to keep up in prayer. I know that you guys know some of our loving couples that are having some challenges. So we want to just make sure we are keeping people up in prayer and just thinking of them during this holiday time and during this Christmas season, and just asking God to strengthen and add blessing to homes and that kind of stuff, and to heal and set free. Amen.
Absolutely.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Traveling mercies for all of the family.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yep, we got families.
A lot of people of the family of faith that's going out traveling.
Amen.
Different places. Logan and Amber leave tomorrow. And
oh, yeah.
We've got other people that are traveling. So just keep everybody up in prayer that they get safely where they're going and they get safely home. Yeah. Amen.
In fact, that's why the Kaisers are going tonight. They have to do some
Christmas
family
concert.
Christmas stuff.
Christmas choir.
Oh, okay. Yes, 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 yes. Or school and all that good stuff. And so, Logan, you drive that family safely tomorrow. Amen. I'm just teasing you. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So with that being said, I guess we better let the children get going, huh? Let the children get going to children's church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. They're going to have fun.
How they jump up and run like they've just been waiting for you to say it.
Amen. I tell you what, they are glad to get out of here. Oh.
Fix your shoes, too. Fix your shoes, boy. I ain't raised no hillbilly.
Praise God. Hey, tonight, does anybody have a testimony or a faith statement as to why they believe in giving and why they give? Does anybody want to come and say why they trust God in the area of a tithing and offering? Well, come on up here. Well, yeah. She can't hardly talk, but we got a testimony.
Not many people know, but about 3 weeks ago, I quit my job so I could stay home with the boys because they were struggling. And we've still been given, even though we were wondering where it was going to come from, and just believing. And it just, God's great. Phil got a new job. He was offered today. And it's as much as both of our incomes were.
Wow. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, yeah. You got to bring it back to me, brother. Amen. Well, praise God. So you got that job we're praying for, huh? That's awesome. In case you guys didn't hear that all, it's okay. Miss Haley and Philip have taken on two beautiful babies. So she's got the opportunity where she had to come home to take care of the children. And Philip was looking for a job. We prayed about it. They've been using their faith. And now he's got a job that will cover both the incomes, what Miss Haley gave up, and his income, and woo, together. So praise God, that's a great blessing. Amen. I tell you what, without fail, God will help us. Amen. Does anybody else want to give a testimony on why they believe in giving? Amen. Well, I will tell you what, I have seen God be faithful. Amen. And he's a faithful, awesome, loving God. So tonight, just based upon what we've heard, we're going to release our faith tonight, and we're going to give. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just believe that during this last month or so of just hearing testimonies, God, just of the supernatural way that you touch people's lives, God, I thank you that the Bible says that if we would give, Father, it would be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lord, as we release our tithes, God, the Bible says that you will rebuke the devourer on our behalf, God. And, Father, that you will touch all aspects of our life, Father. You will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing that there's not room enough to contain. And, God, we just thank you for it and declare it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front.
Yes, I will.
let you hide in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
You know, as I think about it, you know, we're getting to where we're winding down this year. And as we get ready to finish this year, you know, I was just thinking about this incredible time in which we honor the Lord. And I just want to look at one of the most profound names and statements that was made concerning the Lord. And then, as I oftentimes do, I have discovered, sometimes I don't realize it, but I really feel like I'm oftentimes giving us a challenge in the arena of faith, or just discovering more or pressing into God more. And so we're just going to look at something tonight. And I really want to talk to you about God is with us, and we should have a good conscience. Amen? And so we're just going to look at the Bible and what it says in Matthew chapter 1. And I love this because we're looking at the time of Jesus being born. Amen? So I'm going to step into that just a little bit. And it says in Matthew 1, verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And I want us to really grab a hold of what this should mean to us today, believers, because we really need to grab a hold of this. God is with us. Now, I want you to understand something, that this scripture, even when it was written, obviously every time we read the word, there's a multiple of meanings and depth of what's said within that scripture. So clearly this was talking about God. When Jesus was born, Jesus was physically with humanity on the earth. Amen? And humanity experienced the Lord in a way that nobody had ever experienced God before. It's just an actual fact of the matter that he being with us was different than any time ever in history. And I love it because it has been scientifically proven, even by some of the best of the FBI. They said if there's ever been a validation of someone living in our history, it's Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus has more physical evidence and witness about him living than any person that's ever been living on the face of the earth. But what's so powerful with that being said is this, that Jesus came for the benefit of us having him with us at all times. Remember, the Lord even told his disciples, "Hey, disciples, it's better for you, it behooves you. Listen, it's critical for you that I go up so that the Comforter can come, so that I can then be received into your life and be with you all the time." It's so amazing because the Bible says that even the Lord said, "Hey, listen, when the Comforter comes, I won't just be with you, but I'll actually be in you." Amen? Amen. And so what I really want us to understand is that Christians, as I stand here and talk with you today, I want you to really grab a hold of the fact that God is with you all the time. The Bible says that in his presence is the fullness of joy. And one thing that I want to caution you as Christians is that we are way too careless about not including God in what we're doing. Say amen. Amen. If we really recognize that God is with us, and God is with us without fail on a day-to-day basis, then why are we oftentimes quiet towards God when we need him the most? See, the Bible says in the book of Acts, hey, the Lord is with you. You should cry out for him, even though he be not far from you at any given time. See, sometimes if we're not careful, we will start navigating our life without a true reverence or awareness that God is with us. You know, sometimes when we forget that even right now, not just because we're in church service, I want you to know that the Lord was with you in your car. Amen. The Lord is with you when you're at home. I hate to say it, but I want you to know even when you're in that bathroom, the Lord's with you. You are never truly by yourself, amen? And I'm just saying that to you because sometimes if we're not careful, we will let our mind go. We will let our thoughts run. I mean, I'm telling you, when you're at work and your boss calls and you thought you were going to get off at 3:30 and you have to stay over till 4 or 5 and that attitude flares up and you start to say and think things that are not good, God is with you. The Lord is with you. And the Bible says this, that we want to be careful that we don't grieve the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that Christians, our behavior can actually put a wrongful distance between us and God. See, what we need to realize is that the Lord is with us. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. But guess what? The presence of the Lord cannot be close to us if we're not providing the right atmosphere. Now, with that being said, the Bible says that if we were to make our bed in hell, God would come. And what I'm telling you is that when we're walking in our relationship with God, God is going to be with us. But also, when we fall down and when we fail, he's going to come to rescue us. But I'm just telling you that the best way for you to have the best relationship with God is remember that he's with you all the time. If we would recognize God was with us, you know, let me just put it this to you this way. If Jesus was physically sitting in the car with you, I wonder if some expressions when you're by yourself would still be said. I wonder if we could physically know that the Lord was seeing our text messages or seeing our attitude on a phone call or seeing our attitude with our spouse or with a relative or with an enemy. I'm telling you that if we would remember that the Lord is physically in the presence of our current atmosphere, would we say and do all that we've said and done? And if the answer is no, then I'm telling you the next part of this message is going to really, really speak to you because it's time for us to make a conscious effort towards how we're approaching our relationship with God. Roger, I know that there are times where you have to make a conscious effort to make sure that you make Karen happy. Amen. Amen. Boy, after you're in it so long, it just becomes a natural thing to know that you have to do it. But what I'm telling you when I say that is that it is time for us as Christians to make sure that we are putting an effort into our relationship with God. I want you to know that I won't tell you his name, but there was a great, great minister. Oh, yes, I will. His name is Smith Wigglesworth. He was a great minister, saw many miracles. But I will tell you that one time he was eating with a young man, and he was eating a meal, and they said that about every 15 minutes, he'd get up and he'd leave. And then he'd come back. And so the young man was curious. So one time he got up to see what was this man doing. And Smith Wigglesworth left the room, went out, and said, Father, thank you for this day. I'm here. If you need to speak to me, if I need to do anything, Lord, I just want you to know that I'm available to do what you would have me do. Man, I got to try to think that way in between the bites of my Big Mac. I will tell you that I'm not quite there yet, hallelujah. But what I want you to understand is how many times are we treating God like he's just some big distant being as opposed to being in an actual relationship with him where we are really letting him partner with our life. He's with you whether you call on him or not. So if he's with you, why in the world would we not call upon his name so we could have him help us? Amen? I want you to know that God wants us to let him be involved in our life. You know, when we have our loved ones, one of the disappointing things in a relationship is when you find out that someone, because of fear, someone because of the doubt of your love and trust, keeps something from you because they're afraid to share. I mean, a parent hates to find out that their child has been bullied or maybe have been in some wrong relationship or something that you would wish they were never in, and you have to find it out because that child was afraid to share with you or come to you. And I tell you what, it's a difficult thing. Even with your spouse, when you find something out where your spouse has been burdened and trying to carry that on their own, and buddy, it bothers you when you find out and you start thinking, oh my gosh, why didn't they believe they could share that with me? Or oh my goodness, I can't believe they've been going through this. I want you to know something. If in your human thinking and your human effort, you feel that way, can you imagine what God feels? The Bible even says this. You being a good person or even an evil-hearted person, you desire to do good to your children. How much more does your heavenly Father desire to do good? See, I want us to remember, we can't even yet measure God's love for us. I mean, he died for us when he didn't even know if we'd ever even turn for him. I mean, I tell you what, if we were really honest with ourselves, there's times where we would have to question, wow, why did the Lord even die for someone like me? Because this is what he saw about you. That the minute you saw how much you loved him, how much he loved you, you would love him. And if you will love him, everybody else is going to be safe. Amen? That's just how God sees you. That's just how God believes about you. So I want to talk to you tonight because I want to challenge you in this way. We're going to talk about our conscience for a few minutes. And I want to talk to you, and I'm going to read out of Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18, it says, pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know, Christians, that you should have a conscience understanding of whether you're with God or not. There should be a confirmation in your spirit. You should have a good, clear, honest conscience. It shouldn't be a question to you if you're going to go to heaven. It shouldn't be a question to you if I died tonight, am I going to make it? There shouldn't be a question in your heart or your mind of where you are with God. If there is, I got to tell you something. It's time for us to clean our life up. Because none of us are ever going to be perfect all the time or perfect at every moment. But when we have a clear heart and a clean conscience towards God, then his love is going to be there and our love should be there for him. Amen? Listen, I tell you what, I have given Regina my heart. And by no means am I a perfect man. Am I, baby? Oh, okay, I wanted to make sure. I thought I had it right. In no way am I a perfect man. But even when I disappoint her, and even when she gets upset with me, she forgives me, and she moves on in her love with me, not because I'm right every day, but because of the conscience of her knowing that in my heart, even if I disappoint her, I do love her. And I want you to know something, that we should be able to have a clear conscience towards God. They say, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. And I want you to know something, that they're not talking about just living honestly to the standards of humanity. No, no, no. They're talking about living honestly within the standards of what God says. I mean, these are the apostles that wrote to us, hey, you need to pray for your enemies, not fight with them. These are the men that wrote, listen to me, I want you to understand something. It's better for you to suffer right, even when you're doing right, for people to talk bad about you, be mean to you. It would be better for you to suffer through that and pray and don't retaliate and don't fight and don't go out there being a hostile, mean person, even if people are treating you wrong when you're right. That it'd be better for you to suffer wrong and keep your character and your nature towards God. Come on, Christians. How many times is it when we have gotten frustrated and we're at the end of our rope, so we go ahead and let it fly. We go ahead and just give people a purse of our mind. We go ahead and just get out there and just go ahead and just have at it for a minute. And even if you ain't swearing, you know you're saying mean, hateful things just to get it off of your chest and just to let somebody feel a little bit of what you're feeling. And the minute that happens, whoo, I mean, the minute we calm down, our heart sinks and disappointment comes in because we know that we have done wrong. It's time for us to purposely live with a good conscience towards God. It's time for us to give an effort to it. It's time for us to really learn that the Bible says that when Jesus was reviled against, he did not revile. Even when he was wrongfully accused, persecuted wrongfully, even when they tried to attribute sin to him and he was an innocent man, do you know that dying on the cross was the most cruel punishment that was ever given out? Do you know that dying on the cross was left for the meanest, evilest, most wicked people to ever be put to death? Did you know that? And here this innocent man who had done nothing but heal people, speak the things of God, be kind, honor his mother, honor his father, honor people. You never see one time where Jesus was violent and in a fight. You never see one time where Jesus was mean-natured or ugliness. All he did was bless and be kind. And why in the world, of all the ways to put someone to death, would they take the cruelest way ever devised at that time of humanity to put him to death? Yet he didn't even fight. Yet he didn't speak one mean word. I'm telling you, it's time for us to live honestly and to have a good conscience on a day-to-day basis. I'm telling you right now that you aren't fooled on how to live right. You know what it takes, and you know when you've done it, and you know when you failed. And it's time for us to take full responsibility to say, I'm going to do my best effort on a day-to-day basis to live with a clean conscience towards God. You know, one of the first things I learned, not just as being a pastor, but just being a Christian, is that one day I had a rough day at work. And I tell you, I hadn't been nice that day. I was being a little rough and giving people my 2 cents and everything. And I left there, and I'll never forget, my mother called me and asked me to pray for her. And I will tell you that I prayed for my mom. And my mom was sick back then, and I prayed for her. But I got to tell you that the minute I was praying for her, there was a guilt in my heart because I was wondering if God could hear my prayers because I had been a nasty young man. See, sometimes we need to have a good conscience towards the Lord so the devil can never make us think that our prayers aren't being heard. Sometimes we need to make sure we have a good conscience because we never know when someone's going to call and need our prayer or need our help, and we want to make sure that there's nothing between me and God except for his presence and him being with me. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! Boy, this Christmas time always brings out these messages. Now, it says here, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. Now listen to this. But I beseech you, the rather, to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Wow. This is giving us some accountability here, isn't it? It's letting us know that our prayers and what we do towards other believers can impact their life. I mean, he didn't say, do this for us just so we could be feeling good. He said, do this so that I could be restored to you sooner. Do you know that sometimes you might have a loved one whose life is hindered if you don't come and join in prayer with them? Remember another time Paul said, hey, I would have a long time come to be with you, but Satan hindered me from being here. See, sometimes we don't want to take responsibility for the fact that our prayers and our actions or our lack thereof is going to make a difference in somebody's life and not just our own. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want you to understand something. That word make you perfect doesn't necessarily mean that you're so perfect that you never mess up. But that word perfect means make you complete, make you solid, make you whole in every good work to do his will. I want you to know something, that this Babel, this Babel, what is that? What's a Babel? I have no idea what I was thinking. This Bible is not written in a haphazard way. I want you to know that these scriptures we read, they've been prayed over. They were written intentionally. They're not written flippantly. You got to understand that every scripture was written as though it was the last thing that these men would get to say to people. It's not just Jesus that wrote the Bible as though he was leaving us his last will and rights. Every person that wrote this Bible, especially lots of Paul's writings, is when he's in prison. So at any moment, he knew they were coming to cut his head off. And he's not writing something simple or flippantly. These scriptures are written with precision. So when it says that you can be made complete in every good work to do his will, I want you to know something, that it's time for us to quit sandbagging with all this religious bad doctrine that's told you how you're just always going to be a sinner full of mistakes. It's time for you to man up and woman up and understand that God can make you strong enough that you have the opportunity to make the decision to do his will in every situation that comes across your desk. It doesn't mean that you will, but it means that we should get better and better at how we handle situations that come into our life. at some point, people, it should get that fiery little wick you got to get your little anger just going and going and spouting off. Eventually, that ought to get put out on a permanent basis. I will tell you that there's a nasty thing called the pride of life, where eventually pride has got to be beaten out of us to the point where we can humble ourselves. And I'm telling you that it's time for us to have a clear conscience towards God. We have a right to, we have a responsibility to. I want to read just something else for you right here in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Yeah, I think I'm going to read in 1 Peter chapter 3. Boy, I should go to to 1 Peter chapter 2 where it said, submit yourselves to every ordinance. But I'll save that for another time. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, it says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. In other words, when you live for the Lord, people are not going to always like it. Listen, I promise you that you're going to maybe have some relatives that come against you. You might have some people that were your friends come against you. And then you might have people just from work or people that you don't really know that are just aggravated because of your faith. And when that happens, you're going to have to be willing to be strong enough that even when people speak against you, even when people aren't with you, you're going to have to be strong enough to just be a Christian regardless. And not an unhappy Christian, not a mean Christian, not a mad Christian. You should be a Christian that can keep your joy and keep your peace, even if other people don't like it. It says this, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. See, it's up to us to make sure that God is so sanctified in our heart that our conscience is God conscious. When we start our day, we ought to be God-conscious. When we go to work, we ought to be God-conscious. When we're in our relationships, we ought to be God-conscious. When we are making decisions of integrity or whether we could steal or manipulate or do something wrong, we ought to be God-conscious. God should be so set apart in our hearts that it should be in us to make sure no matter what we do, he's a part of the conversation. Listen, I love to go on vacation, but when I go on vacation, I'm still God conscious. I'm still up early and I still pray. I'm still up early and I study. And even when I'm on vacation, sometimes a little too often, I'm still looking for people to see who I can witness to. Just because I'm on vacation, I don't lay down my responsibility to be a light into the world. I mean, I've heard of so-called Christians that when they go on vacation, they think it's time to put their hair down. So they think while they're out of town and nobody knows them, they can drink, cuss, act a little crazy, act a little wild. I'm telling you that that is not a good relationship with God. If you won't do it in the church service, you shouldn't be doing it when you're on vacation. Amen? Woo! It says right here, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Wow. Huh. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hands. And I don't want anybody to answer this out loud. But I just want you to think, when is the last time that you had such joy, that you had such hope reflected in your life, that people asked you about your relationship with God? Mm-mm-mm. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Jesus. I mean, if this is in Scripture, it is something that should happen to you. You should always be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I want you to know something. If you're at work and they announce that your job is closing, if you join the crowd of all the negativity and nobody ever comes to you and says, man, will you pray for me? How in the world do you keep joy in the middle of all this? Man, we've been working long hours. It's cold out. It's this, it's that, but I can't stand it. People used to hate it because they said, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Are you serious? Do you have to whistle? Do you have to sing? Do you have to do whatever you're doing when you come through here this early in the morning? Hallelujah. Yes, the Lord is with me and he's got me stirred up. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not my fault, I promise you. But I'm just telling you, there should be times, people, where people around you come to you because they see such a difference in your life because God's with you. His presence and his anointing is on your life, along your words, and on your attitude. Amen. I just want to say this to us tonight. Because here it is again. You should be able to give them a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And that means with a reverence towards God to make sure that what you're speaking to people is from the Holy Ghost. I tell you, one day I called a Christian friend of mine out because I heard somebody at work tell him, said, hey, the man, he said, how come it sometimes you come down from the cafeteria and you just seem to be humming and be at such peace? He said, why is that? And the guy said, oh, I just had a good lunch today. And I said, you're lying. I said, we were up there in Bible study. I said, don't be lying to people. I said, you know why you're so happy. We were just up there in Bible study. We just went through the word. You were just giving a testimony. You were just talking about the goodness of God. Don't be telling these people that you just had a good lunch. Because that ain't what they need. And that ain't what they're looking for. And that person said, oh my gosh, could you guys pray for me? See, sometimes we are ashamed to let it out there when in all honesty, people need what we have to say. Don't be ashamed. You have a good, clear conscience and be strong enough to let people know what is the hope that's in you and why you live life differently than they. Don't just sit there and put it up to just being a nice person and having myself under control. Tell them the truth. What makes you the person you are is the Lord that's in you. And here it is again, having a good conscience. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for doing well than for evil doing. Amen. I want us to be people as we head into the end of this year and as we think about the goodness of God, it's better for us to suffer doing good than for us to ever be evildoers. Amen? Lord, I pray, God, that as we finish out this year, Father, Lord, I pray that we are becoming a more determined people. God, that we're going to be consciously aware of you at all times, Father. Lord, I pray that we would be as Jesus was, a man that would not speak and that would not do unless he saw clearly and knew clearly from the Word of God what his Father expected of him. Father, I just declare your goodness tonight. And God, I just pray, God, your blessing upon your people. Father, I pray over every home, God. I pray over every marriage. I pray over every child, every man, every woman, God. I just pray your blessing come upon people. Lord, I pray, God, whether someone's married or not, Father, that the will of God, that the fullness of what you have for them would come to pass in their life, God. Father, I pray that you would just give us a good, clear conscience toward you, God. Father, I pray, God, that in the abundance of your presence, God, there'd be a fullness of joy. God, I pray that out of relationship, it would start being birthed in us how to act, how to respond, God. And Father, that your presence and the awareness of who you are and your love and your mercy and your kindness, that God, it would come upon us, Father. And that God, you would just be with us, God. And God, that our lives would be full of joy as a result. Lord, that we'd have such a clean, clear conscience towards you that we would never have to hesitate to pray, God. And Father, once we pray, that we would never doubt that you've heard. And God, that we'd be bold enough to wait, God. If it took time, we'd be bold enough to wait the time it took to see your will come to pass. Because in due season, if we don't grow weary, God, if we stay clear-minded, if we keep our conscience towards you clear, without fail, it's going to come to pass that we're going to see the supernatural and the miraculous, God. And Father, we just love you for sending Jesus. We love you for our Lord and Savior. We love you for the Holy Ghost. And we love you that we get to cry, Abba, Father, and you are just such a good, loving Father to us. Lord, I pray your blessing upon this time together. And God, as we step into this weekend, I pray blessing upon everyone, Father. And Lord, that you would strengthen them, God. Strengthen them in all that they do. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if anybody needs prayer.